Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 60.
Boo, 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 boo. 60. That's amazing. That's amazing.
We've been doing it that long. And I mean, really only been doing it for what?
Year and a half?
3 years.
Is it 3 years?
Almost 3 years. I think we started in. We started before the pandemic. It was a year before that. So 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And 60 episodes of Tech Talk. Each one of them loaded with more information than your brain can possibly process, which is why it's great that it's on Facebook and on YouTube, so you can watch it over and over and over
again. That's right. That's right.
And if you have a question for us, throw it in the chat room in Facebook or on YouTube Live, and we will get that question answered, because that's what George and I love to do. We love to answer questions about home voiceover studios because we know more about it than anybody else.
And we're usually accurate with our answers.
Most of the time. trust us. We know these things.
I have an interesting product to talk about, the sound screw. And now you're going to figure out what that means and be creative with your answers. What's that meme? Wrong answers only? On Instagram, they'll post something and then say, we only want wrong answers. So put in the chat, in the comments, what are the wrong answers for what the sound screw is? Okay.
We have a prize for the best one.
We'll see.
All right. VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk coming up right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hey there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO. BS. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. All righty.
Sorry, Jeff. I don't have your button right now.
Yeah.
We're going to figure that stuff out.
We got to transfer that to my roadcaster.
Yeah. I'm keeping a tally of all the little to-dos. But hey, the show must go on. And it is.
Here and it's working. And that's all that matters.
Right.
You know, we got the lighting down. We got the microphones down. All right.
Yeah. How's the lighting look? Does it look good, Sue? Is lighting okay?
All right.
We can do better.
Okay.
Sue's a tough critic.
There's some shadowing.
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 Dan's
shadowing.
Got shadows.
Oh, well, if I put the mic like over here, there's a shadow. You know, I'm like Mikhail Gorbachev that way.
Yeah. We want to avoid the Mikhail Gorbachev thing.
Anyway, so we're here to talk about home voiceover studios. You know, a niche in the world of everything that goes on in the world.
But especially of audio.
Yes, but it is the center of our universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing like a home voiceover studio because it's yours. It's personal. Mm-hmm. Every space is different. Every voice is different. And every pillow is different.
Every pillow is different. Yeah. I'm still working out what works best. I don't want to slouch.
No, I'm not. You know, we haven't slouched yet.
We're doing okay.
It's going to happen. We're both going to end up going like this.
Well, you know, it's what my partner Firuza is watching. So I'll get occasional text going, you're slouching. Can you smile more? I'm working on it, honey. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you watching.
I found that when I was in Iceland, there are pictures of me. I look totally pissed off.
Right. We call it the RBH or the, well, it's not politically correct to say it, but. RDH, the resting Dan face.
Yeah, because it's all hidden behind the mask. So now that we have to take pictures, it's like.
You have to really exaggerate
really
it.
Smile. So if you see pictures of me going, that's
He's
why.
Just exhausted.
I was tired. Well, it was 7 hours difference.
And they made you do stuff.
Right.
This was not a passive cruise. You were
oh,
on.
No. Yeah. Get on a bus.
Yeah. You guys were,
but
ATVing, walking.
Yeah.
Going up elevations.
And going down elevations.
Yeah.
And it was still a lot of fun. Go see Iceland. I'm going to keep telling people that for a while. Now we can't decide where we want to go next. Mm. But we got a lot of places on the bucket
list. New Zealand?
That's one of the places on the bucket
list. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And Australia and places like that. But back to the matter at hand, which is home voiceover studios.
Let's do it.
If you really, you really have to get your home voiceover studio sounding right. That doesn't mean it has to sound great. It means it has to sound like you.
And like you without the
stuff.
Distractions.
Right.
And the noises.
There's the background noise. There's no reflection. But how do you do that? If you don't know how to do that, you're in luck because George and I know how to do that because that's all we do. I mean, I'm a voice actor and I work full time as a voice actor, but you need experts. You need professionals to teach you how to do this and get your studio sounding the way it's supposed to sound like. So all you have to do is contact one of us. If you're totally clueless as to how all this works, talk to a professional. So if you would like to work with a professional person like George here, how would one go about doing that?
Yeah.
They would go to
GeorgeThe.tech, my belly button. Yeah. they go to GeorgeThe.tech or GeorgeTheTech.com if that makes your little brain short circuit, that weird domain thing. You can head over there. There's a menu of services. And if that is a little bit dizzying in terms of its array of options, just send me a message on the contact page and we'll get back to you with what we think would be the most helpful for your needs. And Dan also has a site with a longer name.
Yes.
It's right here.
There it is. It's homevoiceoverstudio.com. And go over there. You'll see the services I offer. And, we can have a conversation. We'd do a consult and teach you from soup to nuts. If you have no idea what's going on, if you've got all your stuff and you have no idea how to use it, I can teach you how to do that. But if you've got all your stuff and you've been recording, but you want to know what your studio sounds like to somebody who knows what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
I have my specimen collection cup and you can drop off a specimen of your audio. Raw. I don't want to hear all the technical stuff you're trying to do to it,
right.
Especially if you don't know what the heck.
Don't try
doing.
To hide the room tone.
That's right.
We'll know.
We're gonna get it sounding as clean as possible. For $25, I will do a very thorough audio analysis. Talk to anybody that's done that with me, and they'll say, he's really thorough,
and it is worth that money.
It is because you'll change your entire brain as to how to do all this. So. That's our plug-a-palooza for this week.
Sounds good.
All right.
I had a little extra tag on too.
Okay.
I'm also doing webinars now, self-produced.
Ah.
Dan and I have done a bunch for John Florian at VoiceOver Extra. I'm starting to throw some into the hopper myself. And if you want to find those, go over to GeorgeThe.tech/webinars. That's where I'm doing the new ones. And then you can get the replays for the ones I've already done. Like we did one on audition primer. And we did a Twisted Wave sort of primer as well, like beginner one. And there's some more coming, but we're still working on the systems to make it all work smoothly.
I have to be a guest star in one of yours, though.
You're going
to
be on the Audition Advanced.
Ah.
Because I want to see how you use SpectraView.
Ah, well.
And some other stuff.
Been using it for over 10 years.
That's why.
One of my favorite things
to do. That's why I want them
on. So what do you got in your tech update this week?
All right. Well, first, I promised I would mention the sound screw. And this is one of those products that many were sending to me saying, have you seen this thing?
The first person
that actually sent it to me was a guy named Skip Kahaney, who has actually become my guru, a guy that I go to who has the degrees, does the really big budget jobs, doing sound studios, not studios, but venues,
mm-hmm.
concert venues, things with really big budgets.
Right.
And he sent it to me. Now, we had a little chat about what the SoundScrew does and what we if we thought it would be useful. But what it is, this is this product, and I'd love to tell you where it came from. It was developed by Håkan Wernersson of the Department of Material Science and Applied Mathematics at Sweden's Malmö University. I think it's Malmö.
Malmö.
It's M-A-L-M-O with an umlaut.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, here's a very quick summary of what this thing is. And this is definitely a visual thing. So, if you want to show this, and even looking at the picture, you still may not really understand what it does.
I see exactly what it is.
It's a screw with a spring.
Right.
Whereas a traditional drywall screw holds a panel of drywall snug, like very snugly up against the studs that make up the structure of a room, the sound screw features a flexible spring just below the head. It still allows a piece of drywall securely to hold a piece of drywall securely against a wall, but with a very slight gap, allowing the spring to expand and compress. That dampens the energy of sound waves hitting the walls, making them much quieter. Boy, I can't read. Maybe you should make it bigger like you do. I should do that. Making it much quieter as they reverberate into another room. During sound testing in a lab, researchers say the use of sound screws was found to reduce transmission by up to 9 decibels, making the sounds bouncing into a neighboring room roughly half as loud to human ears.
9 dB is really what you really need, you know, in a marginal.
Yeah, is that a single solution soundproofing thing?
No.
Would it make a big difference? Like if you're trying to improve the privacy of your bedroom? Yes, it would help quite a lot. Would you use it inside an ISO booth that you're custom constructing? I don't know yet. There's so many different systems and methods of construction that are already proven that we use. So it's hard to say. I if you read the article, by the way, I found a good article about this on gizmodo.com. It's a good gadget blog. If you look for that article in there, they definitely seem like this is something that's for like large projects, like condominiums, apartments, things like that. Anyway, we'll see how it goes in some testing in the real world, see if anybody tries it. My guru Skip said, the problem with this type of idea is if any one of those, let's say 70 or 90 or 140 of these little screws, if any one of them is not, let's say it fails,
right,
or isn't doing its job,
it short circuits the whole thing.
So there's a big problem there. So we'll see how it goes. But it's interesting to see. I love seeing innovation in this area. So that's cool. Another topic that's been brewing since we were off the air is the news of Audacity now being owned by another company, which may sound odd to you because it's free and it's open source, but it is owned by another company. Now, along with that came a lot of controversy. What's the right wrong way to pronounce it?
If you're
that?
In London, it's it's the other way. Yeah. it's controversy.
Yeah, controversy. There was some controversy because there was this new privacy thing that you had to sign off on to use it. You know, so people are starting to think, oh my gosh, this is becoming spyware. Audacity is now going to spy on my computer and how I use it. So there is a great article, which I have certainly not. Scroll down that article. Show them how long it is. it's crazy long. Pardon me. It's on librearts.com. librearts.org, not .com, .org. Check out the article on there about Audacity privacy, and you can really, really dig in. But there's the thing to know is that if the software is going to remain, it's not going to change its overall functionality. It's not going to all of a sudden cost anything.
Right.
That's what they say. It's going to remain totally free.
You can donate to them.
You can still donate to it. One functional thing that's changing in the next version or in this latest one is what Paul Licamelli, by the way, and I could be saying his name totally wrong. It could be Licamelli. I'm sorry for that, Paul, but He's got it. He's on a great Facebook group for Audacity. It's Audacity for voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know him. But he mentions that there is something called a unitary file format, which will spare many users the common error of moving the AUP file without the companion folder. So what it is like one large package file or a bundle,
right,
where all the other files are bundled together.
Right.
So I think that was, in my world, that's not an issue because I don't really use the AUP file. I just would say save a wave.
Right. Or an MP3.
Right. But if you're doing production, podcasting, multi-track, you want that AUP to keep it. Well, now they can be bundled together into one package.
That keeps it
from getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And sending the wrong file, things like that. So definitely check out the stuff on YouTube about this. There's a great interview that was done by Paul and many others on the development team by a fellow who I will spell his name, Tanta Cruel, TANTACRUL. And it's called "I'm Now in Charge of Designing Audacity Seriously." So go find that on YouTube and watch it, far longer than we can possibly share here. But you'll get to see Paul, actually, in the flesh, explaining what's new with Audacity. And really, what's cool about that video is really the in-depth explanation of how it came to be.
Right.
It's been around for 20 years. It's pretty mind-boggling. And I got to say, it really is getting better and better. The feature set is really impressive, and it's very stable.
And it's free.
And it's still free. Not free, not even close
no,
to it.
No,
in the other direction is is the Universal Audio Apollo, which I have a love-hate relationship with it. You know, but anyway, Universal Audio that owns and creates the Apollo has purchased another company that, if you were watching the interview with Mara Juneau. If you were watching she has nothing to do with marijuana. It's a mnemonic thing. If you were watching that episode, you'll hear her mention a microphone called the Townsend Labs Sphere L22. This is a crazy, sophisticated mic/software solution. Well, it's been working it basically does a mind meld with an Apollo interface, and it becomes like the ultimate multi-microphone simulating product. Like, it's one mic that does the job of 100 mics.
If you happen to need that sort of thing.
If you're really, if you're Mara and your boyfriend is Jordan, you need one of these microphones. if your boyfriend is like a massive mic geek. But anyway, long story short, they actually purchased the assets of Townsend Labs. So what does that mean for Townsend Labs? I can only hope that it means there's going to be even more rapid development of interesting plugins and models, and hopefully good support. That's the part that makes me nervous. Whenever companies swallow up small companies,
right,
are they still going to have that kind of personalized, that level of support? I hope they do. Are you listening, Universal Audio? Don't screw this up. Okay. We love this microphone. We love your equipment. Please keep giving us good support. Anyway, that's all the tech news I had to talk about tonight, but thanks for letting me blather on.
Well, that's why we're here, for crying out loud.
But we have questions, a few in there already.
Yep.
We want more, though. Give us more questions, folks.
So I figured, we could talk about just about anything on this show, because it's our show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have been talking about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I work with a lot of clients, and sometimes I'll get a client that's like, I have to use Pro Tools. I've got to use this. I've got a mixer. I bought a studio from somebody and I produce all this stuff. I have no idea how to use it all.
Yeah. They bought a rocket ship and they need to drive it to the grocery store.
Exactly.
Got it.
Or
familiar with that scenario.
Yeah. and so the question becomes, do you simplify, if they're familiar with using Pro Tools?
Yes, this is a dilemma.
But you don't really need it. I mean, if you're not technically savvy and you know how to arm a track and hit record and that's it, what do you need the rest of it for?
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to consult with someone. Yeah. How do you transition somebody to something far less sophisticated that's going to sound better? I mean, when I first arrived here in LA and I started, you know, doing the kind of stuff you do and going into people's houses and into their home studios and seeing that literally, despite the fact that I was, you know, in Buffalo all those years doing this, and I was working with people over Zoom and, it was Skype back then.
Yeah.
But to find that people here were literally 10 years behind technologically.
Yeah, they were still using all those outboard gear, analog mixers.
All this stuff, you know, and you'd go in, you know, and you and I loved going in there, pulling out all the plugs, and it's like, okay, plug this in, your mic into your interface.
We love unplugging cables, man. I go in there and tear out cables like crazy.
And record something. Now play it back. Wow, that sounds fabulous. Yeah, because you had all this stuff, and some engineer who's like, well, this is all the stuff I use. You should use it too.
Right.
And that's not the way you should do things.
Not when you're self-engineering.
Exactly.
You can't do the job of that engineer that set it up for you.
Right.
As well as that engineer did it when they set it up for you.
Right. And especially if they didn't know what the heck they were doing.
Sometimes that's another problem.
Which happens.
Another layer to the onion there.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we just need to remind you guys, it's not the equipment that gets you work. It's how you use it. And use it to the point where you're not using it, to where it's like, hit record, do what you do, which is voiceover. You know, you talk into the mic, you read the copy, don't worry about what's going on in your computer, because it's a computer. Yeah, it's compilating things and changing things around. I've simplified it down. It's a cassette recorder. Play, stop, record, rewind.
That's why I like Twisted Wave so much.
Which is why I like it too.
Now, have you ever tried to get someone? So that's Pro Tools. You can't reprogram the keyboard shortcuts, no. Right? Yeah. And I think that's for a reason. They want every engineer that knows Pro Tools to know Pro Tools, so they can move from one studio to the next,
right?
And they don't have to worry about it changing. The beauty of Twisted Wave is you can reprogram keyboard shortcuts in Twisted Wave to act more like the way they were in Pro Tools. And so not many times, but I've had a few opportunities to go in there and make, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are zoom levels in Pro Tools, right? You can program those keys to do a similar thing
in Twisted Wave.
Right. Command bracket up and back and forth is another zoom thing. You can make Twisted Wave do that. So that is one way that you can try to help socially engineer somebody out of using Pro Tools, but it doesn't always work, but it's something I've tried.
Yeah. The thing is that people think that, well, Pro Tools sounds better than Twisted Wave. No, it doesn't. They sound exactly the same. It all depends on what your microphone's going into your computer.
Signal chain. It's the room noise. It's the acoustics. It's the AD converter. That's what matters. Not what's capturing the stream of ones and zeros.
Right. And so, you know, keep it simple. And you know, I mean, I don't use Pro Tools. Could I use Pro Tools?
If you had a client come and you say, okay, we're going to pay you this amount of money.
Right.
And we need you to use Pro Tools. What are you going to do? Go get Pro Tools.
No, I'll record something and then just throw it into Pro Tools and say, here's your Pro Tools file. I mean,
well, that's true. You can record it in anything you want
and then
make a Pro Tools project. So
that's right. Yeah, and that's what I would probably do. But no one's ever asked me to use Pro Tools.
No.
Because they know that my audio is going to sound good no matter what
I
use.
And you're going to send them a wave.
Right.
And it's a universal format. Right.
And they can take that and they can shove it into Pro Tools and they can do whatever the heck they want
with it.
So I don't understand. I think there's a certain geekiness. There's a certain, I won't call it arrogance, but there's an air of sophistication. Well, I use Pro Tools. Well, that's fine. But if you're just using your voice, you don't need all this stuff. It's you know, how do I describe it? It's getting a control room for a nuclear reactor to control a
hamster in a wheel.
A hamster in a wheel.
That's the one I remember.
It's pretty silly. I've only been using that for about 10, 15 years. So I may have memorized it by now. Anyway, we got a few questions coming in. If you've got a question, throw it in the chat room. Jeff Holman is probably still in his hotel room in Vancouver watching this and going, oh, I got to get all these questions in here. Put it in the chat room in Facebook or on Ustream Live, depending on where you're watching. And maybe we can get one from Clubhouse if that's working. We don't know. But ask us questions. That's what George and I love. And we'll be right back to answer those right after these messages.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
We've been sequestered for over a year, forced to watch undubbed Turkish soap operas.
Nereden geldiğimi bilmiyorum. Ya da nereye gittiğimi.
And face it, we're all zoomed out. But now it's time to get back on the road again.
And if you have to record your voiceover tracks on the road, there's no better way than to use a Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus. With one zipper assembly in seconds and lined in Oralex studio foam, the Portabooth Plus is your answer to professional recordings on the road. And because summer travel and remote recording are finally back, here's VoiceOver Essentials gift to you. Only for VoiceOver Body Shop viewers, buy a Portabooth Plus and you'll get their fabulous Portabooth Plus travel bag absolutely free. Just go over to voiceoveressentials.com/booth and bag and just click on the Portabooth Plus carry-on travel bag buy now button below. No promo code needed.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 103.9.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge reward. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
It's the time of the show where Dan tries to get off camera, which never works because we have a wide camera, and we talk about Source Connect. Created by Source Elements, our wonderful sponsors. This is a tool that connects your studio to others around the world, and it has cemented itself as the tool of choice among the pro productions in the world, especially in the last 18 months during the situation. I've seen a lot of YouTubers call it the situation. They don't want to mention the C word or the P word for good reasons, but it's a really remarkable tool, and it has become just a staple in the production world where it allows VoiceOver's audio to be sent right into a track in Pro Tools, and it can even automatically back itself up, which is huge. It can, using something called the Cue Manager, continually record what you're doing, the actor, on your end, seamlessly, transparently, and then at the end of the session, it can either replace errors in the audio, like if there was a glitch, or it can then completely replace the entire session with a WAV file, not the compressed version that was streamed with Source Connect. So it does all that seamlessly, and it is really quite remarkable, and it makes your job as an actor so much easier. You don't have to edit anything. You don't have to, you know, mess around with the file formats, whatever. It's just, you walk in. It's the closest thing to going into a real studio or commercial studio where you have to leave your house and being able to just record. So anyway, if you want to give it a try, head over to sourceelements.com, get a 15-day trial, and get up and running so you can feel more comfortable with it. If you're feeling a little intimidated by the whole thing, their support is excellent, and I've got a bunch of training stuff to help you get started over at georgethe.tech/SC. So anyway, thanks so much, Source Elements. And now Dan's going to slide in, and we're going to go right
so
to the questions. We'll find a better way to do that. But yeah, anyway, it's been fun. All right, so it's audience questions time here.
Yeah.
So we've got a few in the queue, but if you've got one for us, the best thing to do is throw it in YouTube chat or Facebook chat, and we'll give Clubhouse a go and see if that's working now. We've had some issues today with that one, but we'll see how it goes.
But we're working on it.
If you're desperate to get your answer questioned and your question answered in Clubhouse, jump into the chat in YouTube or Facebook, and we'll make sure we get it.
You've been watching the Olympics?
I hate to say that I haven't, even though there's skateboarding, which I think is awesome. There's cycling and mountain biking.
It's sort of like skateboarding. It's teenagers splatting on their tuchuses, essentially.
A 13-year-old got the gold from Japan. I do know that much.
Yes. But, you know,
which kind of makes sense. I mean, who has the time to learn those tricks other than kids?
Kids, exactly.
If you're an adult with enough spare time, well, I know some of you. But anyway, I digress.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing stuff. But all right. I have not been watching it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't wait for Greco-Roman wrestling.
Greco-Roman?
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Isn't it Greco-Roman wrestling?
Yes, it is. You transpose things in there. Immediately, I think of Greco-Roman wrestling. It's the drunk way to say it.
Anyway. Sorry, Asif. I swear I'm totally sober.
Okay. I saw this question earlier, and I have some opinions on it. So it's
please.
Let's toss in here. It says, did you see a post from Armin? Who wrote this one in? Oh, I think it was
Gerard.
Gerard McGuire.
Gerard McGuire.
Did you see the post from Armin Hayastetta, the head guy over at Bodelgo, about the combo Isovox and Isomic, perhaps something you may have opinions about? Hope you are both well. Well, we're fine, Gerald.
Thank you.
They're Gerard. I have seen the Isovox. It sounds like a tube.
I have one.
I
got one early on. They sent me one as a demo. I did a review.
Yeah.
And it's got some acoustics problems.
You know, if you're a reporter, if you are, you know, if you're, you know, on location or a rock singer or something where it's not really critical, I don't know if it isolates you very well at all. And to me, it sounds like a tube.
It has a bit of a sound to it, a little bit of a boxiness. Isovox 2 has been out for quite a few years, so yeah. I don't know if they're in the lab working on the next edition. They probably are, I would imagine.
I hope so.
If there's an Isovox 3, I'd say it needs to be a little bit larger, possibly. But anyway, I love you gotta give them some props for making something like this that's been manufactured very, very well. Actually, it's a really well produced product. But so now they're partnering with a microphone company. And so they're apparently they have a mic.
Canceling mic.
Well, it's called the Isovox Isomic.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking at this and going, you could adjust the sound by using EQ, of course, and thanks to the frequency range of 7 hertz to 87 kilohertz, this is absolutely possible. It's not meant to be used like that, though. This microphone has. Are you kidding me? This microphone has a frequency response of 7 hertz. To 87 kilohertz? Am I hearing that right?
Well, no, if you're hearing it, then there's definitely something right with your hearing there.
That's freaking amazing. I think I know what company makes this mic. It looks familiar to me. Do you remember when we went to NAMM and we saw a mic with a triangular capsule?
Yes.
I believe that is the company making this microphone. They made a partnership because they're both Swedish companies. The Erland microphone.
Yes. Triangular diaphragm.
Well, you know what? Like everything else in this world, there's so many amazing, unique, and incredible miracle products out there. Until we hear it used in context of real voiceover work, and do we have to refix the EQ? That's the question. I'm curious to see how it works. But I suppose if you made a mic that was literally designed to work specifically with that booth, you could design the mic to work in that kind of a situation, and then it could probably work pretty well.
Cut off everything under 100 hertz. And
for sure.
and that'll probably.
Well, we mentioned Townsend Labs, Mike. They actually have a plugin that will adjust the mic's performance to work better in a really small box.
Hmm.
Like it tries to figure out, well, you're in a little whisper room or whatever, so we're going to change the response. So this, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a setting for the ISOBox.
Ah, all these gadgets and gadgets.
So anyway, if you buy this whole package, you're in it for about 2,300 euros. So is that a one-stop shop solution? Again, don't know yet.
We'll find out.
But if I got one of those mics and I already have the ISOBox, maybe I could do a test. Let me know.
Or maybe I could do a test.
Yeah, I could ship it to you. I'd be happy to bring it over here.
Bring it over.
It's taking up a little bit too much space in my garage.
Well, okay. Well, if that's the case, then
I'll bring it on over.
Bring it on over so we can make a mess here with it. All righty. Patricia Andrea, if you had to buy a computer now, preferably a desktop, mm-hmm. but could be a laptop for voiceover.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What would you get? Guys.
Like this minute, this day, there's the computer that Dan and I use. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I would recommend it to everybody because it's still so new. But Dan and I are both using and finding good success with the Apple
M1
and MacBook. I'm sorry, the Mac Mini.
Right.
M1.
Yeah.
Because it's a major leap forward in technology. Think of how fast, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, think about how quickly it does everything.
Amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's like almost everything you do is instantaneous. There's no little pinwheel of death while you wait to load something.
Sometimes, you know. Yeah. If you're running a lot of things, but I don't keep as many tabs open as you do.
Does yours have the 16 gigs of memory?
Of course. Remember? It does.
So does mine. Mine doesn't do that very often. Mine doesn't do the pinwheel.
I think it has more to do with some of the compatibility of some of the software.
Are you using any external hard drives, like a spinning disk type hard drive plugged into it for anything?
I usually turn it off.
Okay. That's the only thing I've ever seen that does it.
I would.
External drives. Yeah. But we're having our own little sidebar here. Yeah. But anyway, this is what happens when you talk computers.
Yeah.
But the M1 Mac Mini is a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
For the performance that you're going to get. And it's super quiet.
Are we out of phase here?
I think we're getting a little bit of phasing cancellation.
Maybe if I move it over here a little bit, that'll
happen. Yeah, a little phase cancellation is happening. I could also like do this and move and point my mic away, but now it's yeah. Let's just put it back where it was.
This is professional audio engineering.
Visual broadcast. There's also I could go up and underneath, my nostril.
Why did I sound quieter? Because we're out of phase.
Yeah, actually, how's that work? Do we like that?
That sounds.
I'm not usually a big fan of up and under because it's like pointing in my nostrils.
Yeah. No, but it sounds much better.
We'll try that for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so we like the M1. In the Windows side of things, I don't have a go-to, but if you do a little research, you can find some silent PCs that are not that expensive. Very small, very compact, and you're not, for voiceover specific work, you're not looking for a powerhouse computer.
No, you don't need it.
You're looking for an efficient and quiet one.
Very quiet.
So check out some of those like fanless home theater computers or not a gamer PC. Say those are typically high power computers.
Right.
Lots of horsepower, really fast GPUs. Don't need that at all. That's the stuff that makes it run hot and kill the battery and make noise.
What about like a Surface or one of those small Microsoft products?
I have seen the Surface to be a really great solution, actually. You know, it's a real Intel i5 CPU computer. It just looks like an iPad. So I've had good success with that. I haven't used it that many times. I think I've put it in two studios, but it works fine. Again, not power. That's not what you want. You want silence. You want simplicity. That's what you really want when you're looking for shopping for a computer.
Interesting question from Bob Leadham here.
Good. Should I answer it or
should I read it? You can read it and you can answer.
I can answer it too. Okay. Bob says, what is meant when someone says that a microphone takes EQ well?
As opposed to badly? I don't quite get that. It sounds like an engineering term that somebody's trying to be.
Totally.
Trying to be, you know.
My theory on this is that it's a mic that's relatively, has a relatively flat response or smooth response. And this is something you wouldn't know unless you looked at the frequency response chart provided by the company that makes the mic.
Right.
Assuming it's accurate. So if you're looking at one that has like a pretty, it has a little bit of a rise here, maybe at the top it goes up a little bit and then it rolls off. That's not so bad. But if it's a mic that has lots of little sort of erratic bumps up and down, mm-hmm. that's going to be harder to EQ well, because those peaks, when you add some EQ, those are going to jump up and get maybe sound bad.
Hmm.
That's my theory on this. I have to EQ every mic. Well, not every mic. I have to EQ any mic. I don't really get to choose. And so I rarely find a mic I can't EQ.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's kind of, it's a little bit confusing, but that's my guess, is theoretically that would be why.
Yeah. I mean, and with EQ, usually the only stuff that I'll do with EQ is, you know, maybe take off the low end if there's like a rumble or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, okay.
That's the problem with it being right here.
It's you're gonna keep it, and I'll just keep knocking it myself. I find that, you know, if you have a good mic, trust the sound of what it has. And, you know, if your room is right, trust that. An engineer gets a hold of it, let him do whatever he's going to do to it. You know, if you're trying
prefer that you be really light or no EQ.
If you're trying to satisfy your own ears, you got to remember that you don't hire you.
Oh, this was a good topic that you mentioned this, because I'm getting to echo this more and more.
Yeah.
Someone came to me and they are a producer.
Uh-huh.
So they've been on the other side of the glass,
right,
and they know what sounds good. But he's now crossing into voiceover. He says like
he's not making a living as a producer.
It's kind of a by mistake thing, but he was what happens sometimes, how a producer ends up doing voiceover.
Somebody doesn't show up.
Well, yeah. There's another thing called scratching.
Yeah.
That's like a temp track. Voice, right?
Scratch track.
But he was doing a good job. People were like, hey, you know, the scratch voice on this is pretty good. Let's just hire that guy. Long story short, he's doing more and more of it. But he came and said, I want you to make some processing for me. When I was done with it, he was like, wait a minute. You did everything I didn't, you did all, you added or you left there all the things that I don't like about my voice. And it was like, okay, let's unpack this a little bit. And long story short, I was like, are you working with a coach? He said, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's time to work with a coach, send some audio to the... So, you know, I ended up referring to Rick Wasserman, Bookable,
mm-hmm.
and he's now working with him, which is, I love it when someone takes my advice. I hope it works out well.
They pay you to do that.
Better. But anyway, long story, instead of saying, you know what, no problem, I'll redo that for you. I was like, no, let's take a look at why you think you sound the way you sound. And does what you think about, is it that what matters?
Mm-hmm.
Is what you think the way you sound what really matters versus what the clients are hiring people to do or what sound they want to hear?
Exactly.
You know, that was the little headspace I had to get around in him, because he's not a newbie to the world of this work.
Right.
He's just a newbie to being the one on mic and being heard.
Right. You know? And wants to sound a certain way, except that everybody hears differently. And that's,
and you hear yourself very differently. Very good point. Yeah. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Shauna
Rose Turner, go for it.
Shauna says, I have a booth in a bedroom, but the rest of the house echoes terribly.
Well,
I have a kennel of dogs and she has to kennel the dogs. So put them away. She has to pack up the dogs and the children. Joke about the kids. Good one. I've considered sound buffering artwork, but I don't know if it would be a waste of money that could be better spent on my next idea, which is I'm leaning more towards getting a storage building and finishing it out like a proper booth. Thoughts?
She shed.
A she shed. Dan, one of these days you got to do a tour of
Marcy's she shed.
Go for a walk with your phone now. We'll do that sometime. But Dan's wife's got one right outside the building here.
Yeah. She had space envy, because I've got this wonderful, you know, man cave here that we do the show.
And the kids are home.
And the kids are home.
And a lot more lately.
Yeah. Well, Jacob's been at the he's been out more.
At the office.
But Lewis is still has his office here, and she doesn't like sharing the space.
There you go.
And so we contacted Tough Shed.
Oh, actual Tough Shed.
Actual Tough Shed.
TUF Shed.
You know, we designed it online. They came. It was built in 6 hours. We put drywall in it.
Cool.
And now she has her yoga studio, craft studio, she shed out there.
How is it keeping it cool? How do you cool it?
We have a portable air conditioner in there.
Mm-hmm.
you know, one of those, you know, big portable air conditioners. Yep. You know, now it's in the sun, it gets hot, you know, which makes her want to move back to Buffalo, which I keep saying is not happening.
I was going to ask Sean, I was like, where are you? Okay, so what's the climate like? What kind of noise levels are you dealing with in your neighborhood? And what's your budget? Because really, at the end of the day, it all comes down to what can you afford? Because that's going to be a big determination.
No question.
In my estimation, any project of this nature that's done soundproofed properly and cooled so that you can run the machine while you're, I hate to tell you, but prepare for minimum 30 to 40,000.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Like if you were to hire someone to do 100% of the work,
right,
turnkey, the budget gets into that ballpark quick. So, you know, quiet on demand comes with a big price tag.
That's right.
It totally does.
Yeah. And trying to
Texas. Boy, Sean is in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
But if you have an outbuilding already,
if you have one, okay. I still think the building is probably maybe a third of the budget on that.
Yeah. Well, the thing I have found that if you've got an outbuilding that is away from the house and away from the street, if you just put in some acoustical blankets in there,
as long as you're not right next to an airport or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's always a problem in Southern California because everyone has an airport. But, you know, it as long as the acoustics are right and you're in a quiet spot, they're very, very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can talk about it. I mean, Sean, I'm consulting on a lot of people's projects like this. So let me know. Hit me up, as the kids say, at georgethe.tech. And we'll unpack it. We'll get into the nitty gritty and find out what you might really expect to do to solve that problem.
Yeah. Mike DeBord asks, hey, George, do you have a recorded version of your Adobe Audition webinar?
Why, of course. What do you think? I'm crazy to not do that? No, I do. If you go to that same, if you go to georgethe.tech/webinars, I also post the link to the recorded version, which is on Vimeo Pro. So thanks for asking, Mike.
Yeah. Brought to you by J. Horace Black. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Great to see everyone healthy and well. Hey, you know, had a lot of actors ask me of late, is there much difference in internal components between the Focusrite 2i2 and the Solo? The difference is it's got one mic input.
I can't answer that with authority. I haven't done a teardown, looked at it chip for chip, but not likely at all that there's going to be any difference in sound quality. Functionality, yes, as Dan said, one has one mic, one has two mic inputs.
Does it have the same pre in it? Because, you know,
think of it this way. These are very affordable home studio pieces of gear.
Right.
For them to make a different set of components just to have a slightly upgraded model would make no sense, right? Logically, they're going to use as much of the same stuff as possible in the next version. So, I still can't say guaranteed they're identical, but there's no reason to believe they would be anything other than identical.
What ones and zeros are ones and zeros?
It's going to use the same preamp, the same AD converter,
right?
Same headphone amp. If it's from the same generation, keep that in mind too.
Yeah, the third generation.
They're on Gen 3. Really nice. Yeah. And the Gen 3 is really nice.
Yeah.
The headphone amp's better. Everything, it's really good.
Yeah. I've noticed that. You know, I've listened to a lot of, you know, interfaces.
USB interfaces.
Did that shootout.
Type into Google USB interface shootout and watch our video.
Yeah. Because as far as we were concerned, do they sound different? Yeah, a little bit. Do they sound better than the other? It doesn't matter.
Listen when we do a supercut of Dan reading a piece of script. It's 9 different interfaces intercut, and let us know how much of a difference it makes.
Right.
Don't get too caught up in that.
Okay. You get the next
Pamela.
One. Pamela.
It could be Pamela or Pamela, Pamela or the name Pamela split into two names, which would be really interesting. I'm confused by the fact that you don't suggest using things like an ISO box and various other boxes around the mic, as they give a poor box sound, but you do promote a portable box in between segments. Would the one you promote actually be acceptable to use at home, or as well, Or are you saying that it's better than a typical hotel, but still not ideal? Why I would say leaning in that direction a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it was designed specifically for travel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was.
It's a problem solver for solving that problem.
Right. Could you use it at home? Yeah, you could. Do I know people that do? Yeah. Does it sound
as good as like a walk-in closet?
The fact of the matter is there's a difference between what, say, the porta booth is and what some other ones are.
And, yeah.
You know, and there's a technique.
A lot of it's technique.
I was going to say, and there's a technique to it. You don't talk into the center of it. You talk either across the bottom lip or you talk across the top.
And you don't put the mic all the way in the back.
Yeah.
It goes near the front. So there are a lot of techniques to it. But honestly, Harlan's Porta Booth Plus is of all the products he's made in that lineup, is the one I like the most. I think it's the
great with the 416, because that's what it was designed for.
I think so. That was really the primary mic he was using. And then his own microphone, the VO1A.
The VO1A, absolutely.
Which is that mic right here, by the way. That's what Dan's talking into. Have you ever wondered what a VO1A sounds like?
It sounds like that.
It sounds like that. Yeah. It sounds pretty good.
From a fist away, it sounds like that.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, you know, can you use it at home? Yeah, still better to have a place you can isolate yourself. None of these boxes will isolate you totally from exterior.
Not noise. Even ones that are literally called the words ISO, anything can stop the sound of your neighbors, your own dog,
right,
your own kids running around the house. Trust me, it's all going to be in the recording, all of it.
All righty. Porsche Q asks, Q, you're cute. Wow, this advice is very valuable. Well, that's why we do it.
Thank you.
I have a Rode NT1, but feel an upgrade would improve my sound. When, why do you feel that way?
Highly unlikely.
Yeah. Advise that if I'm not getting an above $3,000 or so mic, then save the bucks and leave it up to those who hire us to perfect the sound. I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is we, and we've discussed this over the years, for every, say, $500 you go up in price on a microphone, the actual sound improvement, whatever that means, that is perceptible, is probably less than 1%.
And I'll argue that there's a certain point where it goes down.
Well, because it's going to hear everything.
It's more sensitive. And a lot of those really high-end boutique mics are designed to have a character to them. Like, they're not designed to be super clean and super clear and accurate. They're more designed to have a certain voice to them. So they're not even going to be as accurate as an NT1. I mean, the VO1A, the Rode NT1, very, very similar in sound quality. I've compared them. They're extremely similar.
Right.
They're really all anybody actually really needs, given that you have a good recording environment. Like, that's it. Like, it's already doing the job well. And extremely well, right? They're low noise, no distortion, sound clear, natural. That's what you care about. That's what you need. Everything else is bells and whistles or tubes or other gadgets to modify the sound of the mic and not have it be as accurate. That's what I would argue. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
Work on the room. Work on the room acoustics. Work on your mic technique. Work on all that stuff, and even more important, let us hear your audio to see what you actually could be, what would actually be worth spending money on
right
in your studio, if at all.
Good point.
Thanks.
Pamela asks another question, or Pamela, whatever her name is, or his name is, but perhaps we don't ask these things anymore.
Whatever their name is.
What stats would you suggest for purchasing a Mac Mini? I'm planning on a 1 terabyte SSD, but I'm less certain about the memory requirements.
Get the 16 gig.
16 gig. Yeah.
Yes, you can get away with the 8 gig. Yes, it will work pretty well. I have a MacBook Air with 8 gig, and it does work fine for most things. But all the geeky reviews I've watched and things like that, there are some tangible, noticeable differences in performance. And it's not a big expense. Like, the 1 terabyte upgrade is a lot more expensive than going from 8 to 16.
Right.
So if you're on a budget, go smaller storage and go 16 gig memory. Okay.
All right.
Last thing was a quick compliment from Dave G. And he says, I'll say it again. Getting an effects stack from George is So worth it. Now, Dave, I want to know why.
Good question.
That's what I want to know.
What exactly do you do when you throw these stacks together? These are not like humongous, you know, switches.
Sometimes people send me some pretty bad audio.
Okay, well.
And I will give them some notes, but sometimes I'm like, I understand you're trying to get away with something.
You got dogs. You're next to the airport.
Tons of noise reduction. You know, well, there's an air conditioning humming in the background. Okay, we'll take out 120 hertz. You know, like put a notch EQ at 120, try to get that humming out of there.
Yeah.
That's what some of it is. So some of it's restorative or repairing the audio. And some of it's sweetening it a little bit. So if they're using a mic that's really flat and dull sounding and they're doing commercial work, and I know that something that's a little bit more sizzly and bright is going to be, then I'll maybe add some top end. Certainly always.
Just a little bit.
Usually just a little bit, yeah. Because most mics don't need any more top end. Exactly. That's what they don't need. Sometimes it's just a little, their booths are oftentimes boomy.
Right.
So I'm trying to remove that. And then I use like a 2-to-1 compressor a lot, because a lot of voice actors don't have the training to have their levels of their voice be consistent throughout the entire read. You know, I'll get the file and they start loud and then they get softer towards the end and then they get loud again and they get soft. So a 2-to-1 compressor smooths that out. You know, it's a help. So it's stuff like that. If someone's like, I got to do television affiliate, I'm like, okay, that needs to sound tonight at 11. Da, 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 da. It's like super loud in your face. Grab your attention in these next 10 seconds. That's a very specific thing, right? So bottom line is, it's really critical to know when it's the right time to process. And it's more, I think nowadays, it's less and less appropriate to do it.
Good. Glad to hear that.
It truly is. It truly is. So know when to hold them. Yeah. To fold them.
To me, everything is physical.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Dave, if you're on here still, tell us what it has done for you tangibly.
Right.
Is it booking you more auditions, or what is it doing? I'm curious.
All righty. Lots of great questions.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, it's so much more fun just hanging out with you as opposed to just like staring at you through a screen. Like,
and your new air conditioner rocks, by the way.
Yeah, it's nice in here.
It's comfy.
It's like in a professional TV studio where people are wearing parkas.
This is coming around. Yeah.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to say goodbye. So don't go away. We still have some important stuff to tell you. So we'll be right back.
I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bad old body shop.
Hi, here I am in my normal workspace with a question. What's the biggest challenge you have with voiceover? What's been the puzzle you need to solve? The question you need answered. Well, David H. Lawrence XVII and the coaching team at VOHeroes.com want to know. They're creating new courses and training, and they want to know what you need most. And it's easy to let them know. Just drop an email to david@voheroes.com. That's david@voheroes.com. And let him know what you'd like to know. Is it tech-oriented? Is it auditioning? Is it about booking more work? Finding an agent? Podcasting? Audiobooks? Performance questions? Whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that makes you scratch your head, or what you've always wanted to know about success in VO. Email David and ask. The email address again is david@voheroes.com.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish.
Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
And we're back to say goodbye. But it's fun answering your questions. Where else are you going to get this information? You know, and not get geeked out. You know, there's so many people out there, oh, I'm an expert on this. And, you know, it's like.
I work hard to adjust the throttle on my geek governor. I want to geek out so hard sometimes.
Yes,
but, you know.
Yeah. And now that you're sitting next to me, I can give you a zest.
Give me a little. He can kick my foot off out of frame. You know.
All right.
Roll it back.
I know we got some great guests coming up. I know we have Amy Chapman in a couple of weeks, who's a vocal therapist.
Do you think she'll be in the studio? Because we still need our first in studio guest.
I know.
See how it goes.
And then there's some other people that we've been talking to. So we've got some great guests coming up. So don't go anywhere. Yeah, I mean, you can watch any episode that we've done, which you probably, you know, if you were really like, you know, hard up during July when we were gone, you probably watched every episode.
Just go into the internet search engine of choice, or even YouTube.
Yeah.
And type VOBS and something. You know, you'll find a tremendous amount of resources.
Or on our website, VOBS.TV, all the episodes are there as well. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, where you'll find all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, who are our donors of the week? Why don't we do them in...
Yeah, let's tag team
it. Okay, go for it.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll alternate. Robert Leadham.
Stephen Chandler.
Yes, Icon Productions. That's Martha Kahn.
Yay. Don Griffith.
George Whittam Sr.
Brian Page.
Rob Ryder.
Patty Gibbons.
Diana Birdsall.
Greg Thomas.
Antland Productions. Hi, Uncle Roy. Looking forward to maybe going to the pit.
I'm still on the maybe. I hate to say it, but okay. I'd love to go. Yeah. Shauna Pennington Baird.
Michael Kearns.
Christy Burns.
Graham Spicer.
Hey, Graham.
Hey.
Michelle Blanker.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Trey Speaks for You.
Trey Mosley. Yay. Tom Pinto.
And Shelley Avellino.
Wow. A lot of them because we, you know, this is like a month's worth of.
Yeah, we've been accumulating.
People, so, yeah. So. We appreciate it. Your donations help. It makes it so we can, like, you know, pay Sue.
Yeah. Hey, that's important. Money. We want her sticking her
money.
Oh, my
gosh. All righty. Hey, if you need help with your home voiceover studio, you can go to a bunch of places like.
You can go to georgethe.tech. That's my home on the site. And you can go to.
Homevoiceoverstudio.com.
Yep.
And you'll find me there. Just hang out there staring at my website all the time. Need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And JMC Demos.
Did he pay double for that?
He did.
So we could read it like that?
I know.
Okay.
Jeff Holman for sticking it out up there in Vancouver.
Thanks,
and
Jeff.
Getting it done. Danny Burnside on Clubhouse. Sue Merlino for getting it done by just being there and pressing all the right buttons and making us look like we actually know what we're doing.
Being tolerant, being patient.
Putting up with us. And Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, look, voiceovers, you know, there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get your home studio right, that's most of it.
But you want to get that out of your head so you don't have to be always have that subconsciously bothering you.
Yeah. Because in the long run, if it sounds good.
It is good.
I'm Dan Leonard, by the way.
And I'm George Whittam, by the way.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VO
BS
Tech Talk.
Tech
Talk. Tech Talk. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Have a great week, everybody.